Good morning, church. Welcome to CCC Highland Square. So good to be with you guys. We're going to do a couple things right now. First is, deacons, come on down and serve us. We're going to take our offering. Next, this is a middle school Sunday, so middle schoolers, you guys are dismissed to head down the hall into the gym, if you so desire. Should be a fun time down there, so middle schoolers, enjoy that. Lots of cool things going on around here. Just want to give you a kind of little update on some of them. Actually, before I do, I forgot one thing real quick. I don't know how you're feeling this morning, but I'm feeling particularly thankful. And the reason why I'm feeling super thankful is because my wife was singing on the worship team right here, right? Megan was singing here. And on the days when Megan sings, that puts me in charge of five kids and getting out the door. So this morning, we were running a little bit late, right? And sometimes when you're running late, you know, where do you make up time? You make up time on the drive, right? And so in order to do that, it's just physics, right? Just crunching numbers. You got to speed up a little bit. Well, this morning, as I was speeding up a little bit, a state trooper decided to slow us down a little bit. So we got pulled over. It's confession time. We're going to start a line, all right? Line up here. So got pulled over, and I was cutting a little bit close. And so I just said to, you know, she's like, hey, where are you going? So I'm actually, I'm going to church. I'm a pastor. I'm running late. I look back, I got five kids, right? Say hi to the nice officer, right? So anyway, the state trooper, she was the nicest state trooper I've ever encountered, and I haven't encountered very many, but she let us go without a ticket. So thankful, yes. Super thankful. So I said, all right, everybody say thank you to the nice officer. Everybody said, thank you, right? So that was my morning, but so good to be with you guys. Now, ladies, last night you guys got together for your first monthly summer gathering at Joanna Small's house. Heard it was awesome. Heard the rain, the weather didn't cooperate, but hey, whether you're outside or inside, it's still a blast. And the ladies had a great time. And just wanted ladies letting you know that like monthly they're going to be gathering in different places, just hanging out, eating food, and getting to know each other, right? So just say that to say be listening for the next gatherings that are coming up. Also, just want to remind you guys, so you know, that we started what is called a community development corporation, and the first initiative that goes under this development corporation that we started is our lawn care initiative, right? So we brought Brock on. Brock Kurtoy has been leading this initiative for us, and I just want to say that some really cool things, that we've been doing this like 3 weeks, but some awesome things are already starting to emerge out of it, right? So if, I don't know if anybody has a business card in the house, but it says your name and then what you do. If Brock Kurtoy had a business card, it would say Brock Kurtoy, and then in the line where it says like what he does, it would say professional lover of people, because that's what he does, right? Brother can lay down some mulch and he can mow some grass, but man, what he really does excellently is he loves people. So I've been on a couple job sites with Brock just filling in, helping out, and I just get to watch him interact with people, and he just like loves on them, right? It's the coolest thing. If you've ever met Brock, it's like as if after 7 seconds, you're his best friend. Not because he makes you feel like that, but literally after 7 seconds, he sees you as his best friend, right? That's just who he is. And so Brock is connecting all over town, right? He's connecting in with the city of Akron, building relationships there, right? We're working with the Urban League. He's building relationships there. All like doing mulch jobs, bidding jobs. You know, like he is representing us out in the highways and the byways of the community, having touches with people that we otherwise would have had zero touches with, right? So I'm just so excited that's happening. And as you're pulling out today, right, as you're pulling out this exit right here, if you move out Exchange, look across the street and you'll see a garden over there, right? Fresh flowers, freshly mulched, some really cool art things going on there. So we have partnered with Emmanuel Christian Academy, and Brock and his team like did that whole thing, except for the art structures. Brock didn't do that, but everything else was Brock, right? And so yesterday they did like a little commissioning ceremony, but it's just like we're networking and connecting into some really awesome places. And on behalf of our church, just wanted you to know that Brock is loving the city, right? So we're super pumped about that and to see where that goes. Okay, last thing is we're launching into a new 2-week series starting this week entitled The Vine. We'll be in John chapter 15. So actually, if you want, you could turn to John 15, right? Just preemptively. Coach Pastor Boyd, or Pastor Coach Boyd is going to be leading us in this two-week series. And I just wanted to make an announcement. Some of you guys have heard, maybe some of you have not heard, but Kemp has just undergone a vocational change. It was just like 3 weeks to a month ago, where Kemp has taken on the position as executive director of the Love Akron Network, which is a significant honor. If you have history in the city of Akron, just a little history. The Love Akron Network was birthed out of, these names will be familiar to you maybe, Pastor Newt Larson and Pastor Ron Fowler. I think like 30 years ago, like bridged a friendship and just started this like, hey, let's bring the community together. Let's bring pastors together. Let's shepherd the city. And so like 30 years later, our very own Kemp is now the leader of this organization, which means that he is essentially like shepherding at a city level, right? Not an individual congregation, but he's shepherding a city and seeking to bring nonprofits and churches and business leaders together for the sake of the kingdom of God in Akron. So a super honor for him and a treat for us to have you with us. He's overqualified. So I'm just humbled that he even comes here on Sunday, right? So we're pumped to have him here. And so we're launching into a two-week series. So would you guys welcome your very own Pastor Coach Kemp Boyd.
Hi. Good morning. I've trained you well, amen. You guys know, man, you got to give me some good juice and some energy back. You know, it's funny, man, I'm not going to let Brian off the hook. He said, hey, man, why don't you do a two-week series? And I said, okay. But I think underlining that is like, Brother Kemp's a little bit long-winded, so we better give him 2 weeks to talk instead of just 1 week. That way he can. And so I appreciate Brian giving me 2 weeks to come and stand before you. So we plan on having a good time, as always. Amen. See what the Lord is going to say to us and speaking to us. We'll be covering John chapter 15. We're going to cover the first 7 verses. Just kind of talking about Jesus and this moment that he has with his disciples, which is a very special moment. And it's really awesome. Before we get to that, I just want to talk to you guys about, and I don't know if anybody's ever had to do this. I've went through this, and I'm going to have to go through it with my own children. And it's the talk, okay? I don't know if anybody has ever had that talk that you've had to have before. Anybody? The talk, okay? And I'm talking about the talk that you have before you go to college. I'm not talking about that talk. So it's lots of talks, but the talk I'm talking about is the one that I had summer of 1994 before I went to college with my parents. And so at that time, my parents were living in Youngstown, Ohio. We had lived there that summer. And so it was like the buildup for me leaving to get ready to go to college. And so that summer, I already went to orientation at the University of Akron. And so anytime you're about to go to college, man, your parents, at least my parents, start to become a little bit weird. From the perspective of my mom would just give me hugs out of nowhere. My dad was just unusually nice to me. And it just felt very uncomfortable, and I didn't want to have to deal with it. And, you know, and so we went out to dinner. I believe it was at Longhorn Steakhouse. The night before, they were going to be taking me to University of Akron, and so we began just to talk and, hey, you know, remember that, man, you need to be doing your laundry, remember to get up, set your alarm, kind of running me through the list of stuff that they have done for me over the past 18 years. And so they were just making sure that I knew how to do certain things, and they were just prepping me, right? Prepping me for the new adventure I was going to be on. And so the morning came, so we're driving down to the University of Akron. They're getting ready to drop me off and all my stuff. And so as we're taking stuff up, I lived in Bulger Hall, the sixth floor, 611, Bulger. Any, okay? All right, I see how this is going to go with this group this morning. And so back then, Bulger was an all-boys dorm. Now it's co-ed. And so as we're moving, you know, the last of my stuff gets up. My dad is helping me. We're bringing it up. And so, you know, there's that awkward time when you know it's time to leave and it's time to kind of say your goodbyes, when on my end, I'm wanting them to leave so I can start doing my thing, right? But leave me some money on the desk over here. I need some cash. And so my dad is not the, he's a big guy, but he's not, he doesn't hold it together well. Like, he's not good at goodbyes. So he was really quick to be like, okay, Bubba, hey, man, we're going to see you. And he kind of scurries off through the door, right? Well, my mom, of course, gives you that mom looking at mom talking. She begins to, again, she's running the list to me about the things that, man, I'm getting emotional now even thinking about it, but she's running down the things that she wanted me to remember and know as I went through this process. And so I didn't appreciate that moment at that time of my parents really speaking into me. And now to know that, man, I want to have those moments with my own children, right? That I'm going to have that talk. And what we're going to dig into is very similar. Jesus was meeting with his disciples pretty much for the last time of him being Jesus and being walking with them physically. And we denote this now as the Last Supper. They probably didn't necessarily realize it, meaning the disciples, because we never do, right? But those were Jesus' children that he was kind of sending off. And he knew what was coming before them. He had an idea similar to a parent. My parents knew what lay before me because they had went to college and they had done the college thing. But I didn't appreciate the moment of them really just talking to me, okay? So as we dig into this, there's characters that we want to identify as we look at chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. And we're going to, there's four of them. One is the husbandman, the other the vine, three is the branches, and fourth are the gatherers. So we're only going to focus on the first two. We're going to focus on the husbandman and the vine. So the husbandman, well, before we get into this, think about this. You're going to meet with your teacher, your coach, your mentor, not knowing for the last time, but the dinner feels different than what it has been when we've broken bread before. Because what preceded this was, man, Jesus washed the feet of all of his disciples. He washed their feet. He began to minister to them a little bit different than what he had before. They are just coming off of really kind of celebrating Passover, and now they're starting to make the journey to Gethsemane. Before they got there, they said, hey, man, we're going to stop here, and we're going to meet, and we're going to talk. And they broke bread, the same bread that we'll break today ourselves. And it was this very intimate moment between a parent, his children, a teacher, and their students. And so the very first thing he says to them is, I'm the true vine, and my father's the husbandman. As I read it, I'm like, hold up now. Why was it so necessary for Jesus to denote that word, not just vine, but he says, I'm the true vine. Like, I don't stand up before you guys and say, hey, man, I'm the true Kemp, right? But there was a reason why there was an emphasis put on, man, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Those are the two focal points. But before we dig any deeper, I want to give you some background on the husbandman or who God is. He is the one in charge of the vines and does everything within his power to see that those plants bear fruit. Here's the thing. If the vine doesn't bear fruit, the husbandman is not responsible for that. And when I really read it and said, I'm like, man, that's, well, somebody's got to be accountable. That's the world we live in, right? There's accountability. There's accountability in my household, If I go to Asa's room and Asa hasn't cleaned it up, man, it ain't my fault. Because we've taught Asa how to do and clean his room. So I'm going to Asa and saying, hey, man, hey, bro, why don't you clean your room up? And of course, he says, well, it ain't me, it's Major. Right? We can laugh about that. That's a funny thing. It's okay. Listen, we've already taken care. I'm not going to go beat him. They're all right, you can laugh. But there's always in our society, who do we point the finger at? Well, what the husband is saying is, man, it's not my responsibility that the vine is not bearing forth fruit. That's not my issue. Because I've given the vine everything that it is needed for it to be successful. Okay? Everything has been given to the vine for it to be successful. So when we look at the vine is the source of life for the branches. It provides water and nutrients by which fruits are produced. Without the vine, there can no fruit ever exist. So we have the husbandman who's responsible and does everything within his power for the vine to produce fruit. The vine's responsibility is to be a source of water and nutrients for the branch. Because outside of the vine, the branch can't really exist to bear forth fruit. Okay? So let's go back again. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Why does he have to say that I am the true vine? Because all the vine I know is Jesus, right? Normally, when you make that type of a statement, you have to put the word true in front of it, meaning that, man, I am the genuine vine, or I am the one true vine. And I'm thinking like, well, man, were there other vines before him that, man, maybe I just didn't know about? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5. And I think the prophet Isaiah is going to answer this question for us. And remember, man, when somebody's called a prophet, they are the voice of the living God of that time and that season. I want to start at the third verse, Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to start at the third verse. And this is the prophet saying, thus saith the Lord to the people. He says, now you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not done already done? So again, he's not responsible for the vine not bearing forth fruit because he says, man, what more could I have done that hasn't already been done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. So here's the thing. Let's just stop right there for a moment. The husbandman, God, realizes that, hey, this vine is not producing the type of fruit that I want it to produce. I was expecting sweet grapes, and it gives me bitter ones, right? So if we look back at John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that doesn't produce fruit, he removes. Correct? That's not my word. I believe that's what the word says. Thank you. That's what that, the call and response helps me to know that, man, okay, you said the right thing, brother. So thank you. And so he removes. So God is doing in his word what he said he would do. Because he says, hey, I was expecting sweet grapes. Why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. Meaning I'm going to remove it. Meaning I'm going to move it out of the way. And he goes on to say about what he's going to do and, you know, hey, I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. meaning that I'm going through the process of removing this vine because it's not producing the fruit that I expected it to produce. Now we get to find out what vine was that. Verse 7, the nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. So we now see the vine was the Israelites. That was the vine. And so because they didn't produce the type of fruit that God had expected, God began the process of removing them as the vine. And he goes on to say that he, meaning God, expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence. So I'm going to go back to the original statement that if the husbandman says, it's not my fault or my responsibility, if the vine doesn't produce fruit, then who's accountable and who needs to be held accountable for the vine not producing fruit? The vine. The vine. And see, God is so good because Jesus tells us that he has now been ascended and elevated as the true vine. But God in his goodness says every branch that doesn't, I remove it. He started the process of removing the title of the vine and the responsibility of being that nourishment for the people. He took it away from the Israelites. And see, God always has a plan, doesn't he? It sounds very similar to when we think about Adam. He gave Adam not only the Garden of Eden, but he gave him Eve, and he gave him everything that he needed for him to be successful. And see, let me go back. Let's not even all go all the way back to Adam. Let's just go present day to Kemp. Amen? See, God has given Kemp everything he needed to be successful. He's given Kemp a really great wife, amen? He's given Kemp all these children, amen, that he loves with all his heart, amen? Come on now. So he's given me everything that I needed. Think about this for a second. When I was courting Stacy and we talked, Stacy didn't want any children. Now, because Brother Kim got the gift of gab, amen, Brother Kim was able to talk Stacy into at least four, amen? Come on now. Come on. That's all right. We can laugh about that. That's good. I don't even think she's up here, all right? So we're going to have fun. And so here's what you got to understand. I remember after we had our twins, my father, and the same person that scurried out of my dorm room, I remember him coming at me and looking at me and said, man, you might want to stop having kids. Now, I don't say that to knock him. And yeah, we can smile and that's funny, but see, that did something different on the inside of me. Because that was my father, my earthly father, not my heavenly father. And he said, man, you might want to stop having kids. Because why did he say that? He said that because he was caught up in the worldly thinking of how are you going to afford to raise all these kids? Just being real. That's where his mind was at. Well, here was my mind. My mind was, well, if God gave them to me, he's going to give me the means in order to take care of them, because God ain't never failed. He's undefeated, amen? Amen. But we're talking about two different ways of mindset. Because, see, God has given me everything that I needed as a husband and as a father to help provide for my family. But sometimes, man, when you're around people that are not connected the way that we're connected to the vine, they tend to think from a worldly perspective. And so looking now, I don't know what my dad thinks now, because now I got six. At that time, I only had three, amen? So I don't know. He probably just gave up like, hey, bump it. You know, he might be more, hey, he might be more saved now because I got the six and I believe God for it. He's like, well, bump it. I guess God is real. Amen. Come on now. God will use it as a testimony. Come on. But he gives us everything we need in order to be successful. This is why he says, I'm not responsible for you not bearing fruit. I've given you everything you needed. I've given you the word. And I've given you the word, not only the Bible, but I've given you Jesus. I've given you the Holy Spirit, amen? I've given you the fruits of the Spirit. So if you're not successful, if you're not doing the things you want to do, man, please don't come back and blame me, amen? Because I've done that before, saints. I said, God, how could you allow this to happen to me? How could you put this on me to where you knew, man, I couldn't handle this? And so now Jesus talking to his disciples at the table saying, I am the true vine. He begins to break down why he can say that about himself. See, Jesus wasn't the second Adam. He was just the first Jesus. And he knew, God knew before time, like, man, I gotta bring something more definitive, more sustainable that's going to help to sustain my people coming back to me. And even when we look at this, Jesus says, hey, man, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He didn't say our Father. He said my Father. Think about that for a second. Because in other Gospels, when he gives us a Lord's Prayer, he says our Father who art in heaven. But in this moment, he did that specifically because he had to show his disciples, man, hey, man, understand something, man. You ain't on the same level right now as me and God. Because why? The manifestation of the promise had not been fulfilled because Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. See, Jesus' crucifixion was the entryway or was the connector back for us to go to God the Father, amen? So there's no way that Jesus could say, hey, our Father. He said, no, man, my Father. Because he belongs to me, because we have a different type of relationship than you and God the Father have right now at this time. But guess what? When I go away, you're going to have the same thing I got. See, we got to look at words more than just read them on the paper, man, but there's something behind it. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Because he wanted to make a separation between him and them. And I've done everything that my Father has asked me to do. I've taken you 12. I've nurtured you for 3 years. I've given you the word. I've showed you examples. You can testify of who I am. And now we're going to sit out. We're going to break bread. But understand something. Before I go, because my hour is coming, and I sure to believe that they didn't really understand it. They were probably a little bit anxious. Because think about it. The leader who came and got you from the boats, came and got you from your vocation, and said, follow me, is about to leave. That can't be a comfortable thing. I didn't realize what it meant when my parents dropped me off for college. And I'm not trying to equate this to college. I'm equating it to giving you a picture of the moment. Because my parents didn't just go back to Youngstown. My parents moved back down to Alabama, and I was in the state of Ohio by myself. I didn't have any family here. There was nobody I could call that could come up in an hour or 2 hours to help me. And in that moment, I didn't appreciate all the things that they had poured in, but I remember my mom and my dad talking to me about, well, hey, you remember we taught you how to do this? And they start running the resume because what happened is the word of God says, man, if you teach a child in the way that they should go, then when they get older, they will not depart from it. My mom always made sure I was in church, amen. She always made sure I was around the word of God, even when I was the only one that went. Come on. So when I went off to college, that was one thing she said. Hey, make sure you find you somewhere to go to church. Now, don't tell my mom, but it took me about 4 years to do that, amen? But I did it. Because why? We get caught up in our own thing. And Jesus knew that his disciples might get caught up in their own thing. They might get caught up in, well, who's our leader now? Because see, when your leader's leaving, there's always people chomping at the bit to say, man, well, who's going to be the next leader? Who's going to be the next one to lead us in there and to lead us through this situation or this circumstance? Amen. Jesus didn't want them to get worried about that or concerned about that. Jesus brought them back in. Because again, what is the vine's responsibility? The vine is supposed to nurture the branches. The vine nurtures the branches. The vine loves on the branches, man. This is what Jesus has done. And Jesus is reminding them of that. Yeah, we've been in this ministry for 3 years. But I want to remind you, man, how I've nurtured you. How I've walked with you, and you've seen the 5,000 fed. You've seen the lame walk. You've seen the blind receive sight. You've seen all these signs and wonders. You've seen it, and I've allowed you to be a part of it. And I've blessed you, and I've ministered to you. And what Jesus was preparing them for was the transfer of power and authority. See, the same place where they had the Last Supper was going to be the same place where it was going to be the fulfillment of the promise, to where the Holy Spirit was going to come. And one of the instructions Jesus gave him was, it's like, hey, man, don't leave until you receive it. Because, see, the purpose of him saying that I'm the true vine is, hey, I'm not going to be with you physically, but understand I'm going to deliver it on the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's what's going to help to lead and guide you. So you don't have to look for a leader, amen? The leader's still going to be me, but I'm just coming in a different form, amen? But don't leave this place until you receive the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And after you receive it, don't worry about going to all these different places, but man, just take care of Jerusalem first. Then you go out, amen? So let me bring it back to Kemp. Let me bring it back to Kemp, man, because what y'all got to understand is, and this is funny, man, how God does, man. God is such a funny God, man. Because there was a time in my life, and, you know, man, Brian, I love Pastor Brian, man. Give honor to him, man. Brian stood up here and he said, hey, man, he gave me recognition and titles that in a time in my life, I chased those things. I chased them. Man, I would hunt and gather and kill, steal, and destroy for that title. He said, Pastor, Coach, Kemp, Executive Director, he said all these beautiful things, right? And 15 years ago, man, I wanted it so bad. I wanted it so bad, I didn't care what I had to do or what I had to sell, whether it be myself, to get it. Because that's how I'd been conditioned. And that's how I'd conditioned myself. And so when you talk about, man, you know, whether it's been head coach or the executive, man, listen, man, I'm going to be honest with y'all about something, man. Those things I didn't even want. Didn't even want that stuff, man. Because, see, when God does a work in your life, he shifts you and he transforms you to where, man, you're not even looking for that. Listen, I'm happy just simply being Stacy's husband, to be honest with you. Like, I'm really content in that. I don't need all that other stuff anymore. Because I thought when I wanted it, I thought I needed it so I could look good for y'all. And I was trying to please people. And I was chasing this myth of, well, man, if I get this and I have this, then I'm going to be better and I feel better about myself and people will love me more and people will appreciate me more and people will respect me because, man, I got this name or I got this title. Come on now, I know I'm the only one, but allow me just to truth tell where I'm at now. So when Jesus says I'm the true vine, I'm like, man, I never saw Jesus as a title person. I ain't never see Jesus in the scriptures, man, beating his chest on my man. Hey, man, I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah, man. What you talking about, man? I'm the Son of God out here, man. What's up? Because he didn't have to. And now we sing songs saying there's power in the name of Jesus. If I don't, all these external things are good, man. It really is. And I love how churches do mission and they send people everywhere, and I think that's a beautiful thing, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But Jesus gave distinct instructions to the disciples. Before you go out anywhere else, man, take care of where you at first. And for me, as a father, as a husband, if I don't take care of my home first, if that ain't right first, if my children are not taken care of, if my wife is not taken care of, what I get up here and do before y'all on Sunday, man, I will be counterfeit. I will be no different than the Israelites standing and boasting about all these different things. Well, man, I'm producing some fruit, but it's not the fruit that God wants me to produce. Because first he wants me to look within my household. How are you loving your wife? How are you ministering to her in such a way that she feels fulfilled? And not only that, but it's drawing her closer to me because she sees how you're treating her or even your children. My children are never going to love the Lord and love God if, first of all, they don't see it from me as their father. Man, listen, man. You got to understand that. That's a weighty thing. This morning, something happened in my house, man. Major, he did something, and I think he called somebody a weirdo or something, right? And so we talk about that in our home, say, hey, man, we don't do that. And, man, the Spirit of God came on me and said, man, ask Major, does he understand why we don't do that? And I went and talked to him, man, and he said, no, Dad, I don't know. And, man, there was a moment there, man, where, man, just like Jesus said at the table, man, where I could really speak into my son to give him understanding. Because the Word of God says, man, all you're getting, get what? Get understanding. But too many times as I grew up, if I asked why to my parents, I got slapped, I got a whooping because I said so, right? I've had to change my narrative, say, man, let me get out of I said so to say, hey, man, maybe you're asking me because you're really wanting understanding from me. Jesus gave the disciples understanding that they need. This is why he had to say, man, I'm the true vine. He wanted to get them understanding the need that as you continue to go off and now build churches from going, you're going from disciples to being apostles. And I need to give you the understanding of you need that you need to stay connected. You stay connected to the teaching. You stay connected to all the things and the instructions that I've given you. Because that becomes the nourishment that we need as we move on. See, we don't pray. We don't come to church. We don't read the Bible just to check something off, right? But it's because as branches, we have to stay connected and our spirits have to be nourished every day. And if you are starting to wither a little bit, amen, it's probably because you haven't stayed connected to the source. And Jesus is that source. And this is why it's important for him to meet with his disciples at the Last Supper. Because sometimes we got to learn how to use the source to our advantage. This is why we pray. This is why we praise. Pastor talked about this, man, a year ago of how our praise and our worship is going to start leading us into battle. Because while our praise and our worship are a source of power for us that is going to bring about the type of victory that we all are seeking and looking for. Jesus didn't chase titles. Jesus chased souls. And so the same thing had to happen to me. I had to get out of chasing titles, and I had to start chasing souls. And the first souls I had to chase were the ones that lived with me. That's right. And the accountability that I had with them. And see, God can say, I'm not responsible. Why? Because once you receive the truth, you're responsible for the truth that you hear and what you're going to do with it. You have no more cloak for your sin any longer. Right. This is why, man, pastors churches, God tells us why, to minister the gospel. Because when the gospel gets out, there's no more cloak for sin. There's no more excuse for you staying in your sinful state. This is why we have to minister the gospel. The gospel is going to be important to how we live our life because why? There's other brothers and sisters that have to be connected. They have to stay connected to the vine because the vine is the source of the power that we need. When I get up here, man, you guys hear me, and not that Brian hates that I do it, because I don't say hate. Hate's a strong word, right, Brian? That's a strong word. He don't hate it. And it kind of got confirmed to me today because I had a friend come in today, and I said, oh, man, I want to introduce you to our pastor. And he was like, oh, Mallory, man. He's like, man, you know he was the pastor, though. I said, yeah, Brian's kind of low-key that way, right? But that's the beautiful thing about Brian. Last church I was at before I came here, man, I knew God had called me and given me a gift to preach his word. And when I went there, pastor at the time said, because I was prideful, said, man, God told me to keep you as far away from the pulpit as possible, so I'm going to put you back at the door. You're going to be a greeter at the door. And it got to the point where I got so comfortable in that space, man, where I didn't want to speak or preach anymore. I said, God, I'm good, because God had went through a process of humbling me. I remember the day, I remember what it looked like, I remember where I was at when it happened. But the gift was still on the inside of me that I wasn't doing anything with. And when I came here, Pastor Brian saw something in me to say, hey, man, won't you just start closing for us? And let's see where that goes. Because that's Brian. If you have never done it with Brian, Brian's that type of dude where he just says, oh, let's just do it and see what happens. And then he took me the process, and I said, man, I've always wanted to preach. And he said, man, we're going to get you commissioned. So he connected that dot for me. He did all these other things. And again, these were things I wasn't looking for, that I didn't even want. And so I give honor to Brian and to the office of a pastor because, first of all, man, it's deserved and it's earned. I don't know the battles that he fights, but I know I better pray for him. And the way I was raised, spiritually growing up in the black church, man, is that you honored your pastor.
That's right. That's right.
And that's why, man, when I get him, I say, man, I want to give honor to Pastor Brian because, man, that's important to me because what he's been for me in my life. You know, introduced me as Pastor Coach Kemp, and those are things, man, I thought I should have had 15 years ago, but I wasn't ready to receive it nor handle it. And the whole Love Akron thing, some of you know because I've told you the story, man, I was wanting to say no to that. I didn't want it. I was very comfortable where I am. And some of you guys are thinking, no, man, ain't that the same dude's always talking about being uncomfortable? Yes, I'm that guy. But I was very comfortable where I was. I was comfortable because I didn't want an ounce of pride. God had delivered me from something, man, and I didn't want anything that was going to bring that back in my life. And God had to tell me, son, it won't. So I stand here before you, man, with all that stuff, but understand it's when I put my eyes on him that the stuff came. And that's why his word is true from a perspective of seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you as well. But it's a humbling thing to buy into the process of really seeking God because the world tells us, no, man, you got to go run. You got to do this, that, and the third, this, that, and the third, right? But when we stay connected to the true vine, not just any vine, because I realized there were some vines I was connected to that wasn't feeding my spirit, that wasn't nurturing me, wasn't giving me water, wasn't giving me the things I need, and some of those were relationships that I had to remove myself from, amen? Some of those were jobs I had to remove myself from because it wasn't adding value to my life. If you're in a situation right now and things are not adding value to your life, what I'm going to say is you're not connected to the true vine. But you may be connected to a vine. And so bringing this back to Pastor Brian, my connection with him has helped to add value to my life. And I don't say that, man, to uplift him, because I know it's the God that's in him that's doing it. So say what you will, think what you will, man. If you're here, you're in the right place at the right time, and God wants to do a miraculous thing in this house. And understand something, before we try to do so much externally, how are we ministering to one another in this house? How do we minister to our neighbors of this house? Are we ministering to them well, to the point where, hey, brother and sister, if you have something, if something's going on, hey, I need you to connect with me. And I want to connect with you. When we call for prayer at the end of service, hey, man, don't be afraid to come and get prayer. Why? Because you're not giving us the opportunity to be a blessing to you. We are here to be a blessing one to the other. And, man, some of y'all are stifling the blessing. Out of fear, out of just being afraid. I don't want people to think this. Who cares what any of us think? I get up here and I expose myself every Sunday. Because it ain't about y'all. It's about me. And if I carry these things out with me that I carried in, I've done you a disservice to the body of Christ. And I haven't allowed God to do what God wants to do so that he can get the glory. Because I'm carrying all this stuff out with me, and we come in and we shake hands and we smile and we hug each other and everything is blessed, right? But it ain't. If you're suffering, if you're going through something, man, let us know. Let us know. There's an opportunity in here, man, for somebody who has a gifting and an anointing and prayer for healing to help to extend healing towards you. And if you don't believe that, man, read your Bible. We can lay hands, amen. And I believe in the power of God. I believe in the anointing, man, to heal, man, that it can manifest itself if there is, man, agreement and belief in the house. So thank God for Pastor Brian, because Pastor Brian just lets Kemp be Kemp. But thank him for not stifling the gift that God has given him as well, amen, to lead this place and to lead this church. Glory to God. Man, come on back up. That time is just running. It's all right. It's the last service, right? So I ain't got to. My buddy Rick would be back there like, Kemp, man, you going too long, brother, but it's all right. It's the last service. Hey, we ain't got nobody else after y'all, so this is the, you know. But, hey, man, we're going to do something very special. I'm going to get our ushers in here, man. Now is the time we're going to take communion, just like the disciples did with Jesus. At the Last Supper, he broke bread with them, the bread of life, which symbolized him, and then also the wine, which symbolized his blood. Man, we get the opportunity to do that today. And again, this is not for everybody, man. This is for those who call Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, amen? Amen. You're in the household of faith. You're in the body. Yes. You're an ambassador of the kingdom. Yes. This is for you. This is your time. And so over the course of these next two songs, man, we're going to just tell you, man, just lean in and meditate. You take it throughout the next course of these two songs when you feel like it, when you won't. We don't designate the time when you got to take it. No, man, this is between you and him. Allow him to minister to you through this time. And I want to encourage our prayer team, man, that as you take your communion, man, and as the Spirit leads you, y'all just come on up, man. Nobody tell y'all to come on up for prayer, man. Y'all just come up. We just going to move and function by the Spirit of God, man. The Spirit of God, man, is a spirit that can be overwhelming in a really good way, but as he moves on you, man, just walk in that unctioning, man, and just go. Yes. He may lead you to come up to receive prayer. He may lead you to go and pray for someone that you don't know. It's okay. Ain't nobody going to put their hands on you or touch you, and it's going to be negative. The love of God is here.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, man, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, for Jesus.
Yeah.
I pray, Father God, that our connection continues to grow, because the result of our connection will have us to bear fruit,
yeah,
and that fruit shall remain and bear forth more fruit. And Father God, we pray and we ask that anything in us that is not producing the type of fruit that you would like, that Father God, you remove it. Lord God, we don't want to hold on too tightly, Father God, that as you're trying to take it, we're kind of playing a tug of war with you. That's not what we want, Father. Lord God, we yield ourselves now, putting our hands up, saying, no mas. I don't want to do this anymore myself. I yield right now and submit myself to you. Have your way with me. Thank you, Lord God, that as we go through this process of communion and ministering and focusing ourselves on you, help us to focus on this moment. The same focus that the disciples needed to have when Jesus spoke to them. Help us to focus on you in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.